in prayer right now, so we give him a minute and we'll let the pastor come. That's the good thing about God. He knows what we need and when we need it. So we're going to, Pastor, if you're ready, sir.
Thank you. God bless you. Dr. Timothy Price. Isn't it good to be able to say that?
Amen.
God is always in the blessing business.
Yes,
so we come, we give all praises to God, of course. We give honor to our co-laborers in the ministry, Reverend Priscilla Price, Reverend Dr. Timothy Price, Reverend Mariama Smith, Reverend Jordan Haddock, Reverend Michelle Leapart, Reverend Will Inman. How nice when you can just go down the line.
Yeah.
And there's another name. And to our deacon brothers and our ushers, musicians, singers, and all the saints who are gathered, y'all know God is good.
Amen.
I know I don't have to repeat that over and over. God is good. But on this Sunday morning, there is a word that we'd like to share with you.
Amen.
You have your Bible. And I want to keep emphasizing, we need to have our Bibles with us.
Amen.
Nothing wrong with having Bibles in the pews, but we need personal Bibles.
Yes.
Will somebody say amen?
Amen.
It's okay if it's on the phone, it's on your tablet, whatever, but don't travel without your Bible.
Amen.
God is a good God like that. Turn with me, if you will, to the book, the Gospel of Matthew. Gospel of Matthew, in that second chapter, is where we will be today. If anybody needs to look on with someone, would you do that? Are there ushers available, deacons available, can stand with you, help you find scriptures? Because we believe it's good to read the scripture for yourself.
Yes.
Anybody need more time? Will you say, wait, second chapter, Gospel of Matthew. Nobody saying wait? Okay. Let me read from New American Standard this morning. Your version will be fine if you follow me along. I'm going to read quite a few scriptures, but it gives us the context we need for this message. Starting at verse 1 in chapter 2, Matthew reads like this. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east and have come to worship him. And when Herod the king heard it, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him, and gathering together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he began to inquire of them where the Christ was to be born. And they said to him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet. And you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the leaders of Judah. For out of you shall come forth a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Verse 7 says, then Herod secretly called the Magi and ascertained from them the time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and make careful search for the child. When you found him, report to me that I too may come and worship him. And having heard the king, they went their way, and lo, the star which they had seen in the east went on before them, until it came and stood over where the child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. Verse 11 says, they came into the house, saw the child with Mary his mother. They fell down and worshiped him. And opening their treasures, they presented to him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. From all these scriptures, going to speak from this subject this morning, seeking the Savior. Would you repeat that after me? Seeking the Savior.
The Savior.
Thank you all for standing. As the Word of God is read, we believe that's a show of respect to the Lord. As we look at these scriptures and talk about seeking the Savior, there are three things that we will focus on that come from these scriptures. First, the prophecy of the Messiah. The prophecy, we'll look at that, of the Messiah. Secondly, the search for the Messiah. The search for the Messiah. And thirdly, the reality of the Messiah. The prophecy, the search, the reality. If I ask you today, because this is a group of church folk, and y'all know who God is, but if I ask you, do you really know the Messiah? I would hope that every hand would go up. Amen? Because the Messiah is real. Amen. Seeking the Savior. As we look at this set of scriptures, what we find is that first, Herod was king, but Herod didn't know as much as the wise men knew. They knew where Jesus was. They were following the star. Herod was trying to get information from them. Kind of reminds me of the world. Sometimes church folk think people in the world know more than you know. So let me give you my first news flash. They don't. They need to learn from you, from Christians, from church people, the reality of Jesus. So look at this set of scriptures. It's a lot of verses that we read there, but it tells us that as we look, the wise men were driven by prophecy. What do you mean, preacher? By prophecy. Scripture that had been given by God and recorded and written long ago. We're talking thousands of years before Jesus physically came to earth. And some people knew that Jesus was coming. I wonder if our churches today, if our Christians understand Jesus is coming back. Will somebody say amen? I said this morning to the church, we got to stop crying. Nothing to cry about. Church may have some down moments. There are some churches that are struggling today because some people have walked away. But at the same time, the church is stronger today than she has ever been. Will somebody say amen? Amen. But we've got that responsibility as Christians to share with people that good news. They won't find it out by themselves. I tell people, we even have to be careful thinking sometimes that God will step in, that Jesus will step in and make everything right in our life. The work to make ourselves clean starts with who? Us. We've got to want to be clean. We got to want to be better. And thinking, I can show up at church every week. If I don't give myself to Jesus sincerely, I'm wasting my time. Will somebody say amen?
Amen.
And that's why when we talk about the prophecy of the Messiah, it's good to know these wise men were not just guessing. They had a star to follow.
Amen.
They were not guessing. They had scripture to go to and say the Messiah was coming, what he was going to be like. He wasn't going to be a great ruler. Wasn't going to come with chariots and horses and crowns and things. He's going to come like an ordinary person. I think that says something to us about the church. We got to be careful. Don't get the big head. Because we're able to get up and get dressed and drive to church. And somebody else might not be able to. Don't get the big head. Because God knows our hearts. And sometimes we have to be careful when we say that because it's so true. God knows our hearts. Huh? I was telling you this morning, I was talking earlier about these songs and things that we have out there. It's funny, sometimes very people who criticize the song and the fact that you know this song or that song or you like this activity or that activity, and then you listen to their cell phones. Well, somebody give me a good rapper's name. Huh? Okay, Kendrick Lamar. Why is it I got Kendrick Lamar on my cell phone? But I'm critical of the people who sing this song or that song. We got to be consistent. One thing about these Magi, as they called them, the wise men, they knew who they were looking for. And they knew how to find him. Follow the star. Too many people trying to do it on their own instead of going to the scripture. You want to know what God says? Get in the book. Study the book. It's a mistake to think that God will not allow you to understand the Bible. We can understand the Bible if we apply ourselves. The prophecy of the Messiah. And then this idea, this search for the Messiah. You notice the wise men had come from a great distance. And they were traveling, and they even had to have some instruction sometime following that star. There are some people in our neighborhoods, in our cities, in our county, won't go around the block to go to church. Amen. Will somebody say amen?
Amen.
I travel hundreds of miles to go fishing or whatever it is. But don't ask me to go to church and it's half a mile away. I was downtown Friday night, and I had to walk a few more blocks than I normally do from where I parked. But as I was walking, there was a man at a dumpster. He wasn't a garbage man. But he's going through the garbage, trying to find something to eat. Let me tell you, God can touch you when you don't even know he's around. Put something on your spirit to tell you help when help is needed. Because it could be us. But God is so good. And just as these wise men are using their abilities and their gifts to go find the Messiah, we need to know who the Messiah is. Amen. It's not Travis Scott. It's not Lamar. It's nobody else. It's Jesus. His name is Jesus. And he is just as powerful and available today as he's ever been. He is a mighty good God. We sing Zion songs, but it's got to go beyond singing. We got to celebrate a holy God who is alive and working for us on our behalf. We're talking about searching. We're talking about the search for the Messiah. How many of us realize, and I think the answer is probably everybody here, but how many of us realize that when it's all said and done, Jesus did not stay in the grave? Is that right? He didn't stay in the grave. Yes, we talk about his being crucified. That's part of Christianity. We talk about his going to the cross. That's salvation. He had to do that. But we got to remember he got up. See, if he hadn't got up, then we could hang our head. Then we could feel bad. Yeah, our leader's gone. The captain of the ship is not available, and the ship just driving itself. But because he got up, we ought to be celebrating. It's what I tell the people, like last night, enjoying the fellowship and the music and things like that. That's a good thing. But it ought to be every day in the church. It ought to be every day in our life that we recognize God is working for us right now. He's the reason we got up this morning. Will somebody say amen?
Amen.
Wasn't your alarm clock? It was God.
Yes, sir.
He is a mighty good God. And beside the search for the Messiah and the prophecy of the Messiah, these scriptures tell us about the reality of the Messiah. What do you mean, preacher? You know there are people in the world who do not believe that Jesus is real. They think that religion is something that's been created just to pacify people. And as long as they believe that, God bless them. I'm not on anybody's picket line looking for people. My job is to equip the saints.
Amen.
Help the saints know what the Bible really says. Teach the Bible. And it's your job as well. Sometimes people think, well, preacher, that's his job. He ought to do that. When I get tired and I get hungry or whatever, I'm just going to leave. I come back next Sunday. But here's my second news flash. Your name and my name on a church roll does not save us. Will somebody say amen? Come on now. That does not save. It's a good start. But once we've accepted Jesus, we ought to go into high gear, letting other people know who Jesus is. How the man is the dumpster, don't just leave him there. Tell him about Jesus. Now, he might not accept it, but your job, my job, is to lift up Jesus to the world. I was telling them, and this a few weeks ago, telling people, there are a lot of religions in the world. There are books that describe all hundreds of religions. Because a person can make anything their God. I decide this poinsettia's got some powerful powers and individuals, and if I touch it, everything will be good in my life. I might believe that. I see people walking in restaurants, and when they walk in the restaurant, they rubbing the stomach of the statue that's in the restaurant. Will somebody say amen? But they've been told that that gives them luck and that that's the way they worship. And God bless. But when you know what we know, don't depend on anybody else to carry the good news to somebody else. Your job, my job, let somebody. We're talking about Brother Golden this morning. We pick on him because he's in a position to impact many people. He might not even know what God will use him for. But as long as he'll keep his hand in God's hand, take care of his family, God can provide what nobody else can provide. Do you believe it? These young ladies who swim and they're striving to be the best in their craft, looking forward to Olympics and things like that, God can bless them and use them in a mighty, mighty way. Because he's good like that. I got a cousin, I talk about him all the time. He played a little football with the Cowboys. Never went to a Super Bowl, but that's a whole different thing. But now he's on TV on ESPN, Marcus Spears. And he said he does better now than he ever did when he's playing. God can use us if we let him come into our life. But let me ask you this. Because now that we've said just coming to church is not enough. How many of us are willing to make further sacrifice and go to work for Jesus? Amen. Don't raise your hand. I want you to just think about it. Because it's got to go beyond my name on the church roll.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
It's got to be real. And when it's real, God can read my heart and know that there's sincerity. Because people can be loud and not be real.
Right.
Will somebody say amen? It was so much fun last night. They'd start playing a certain song, and man, the whole ballroom lit up. Come on now. And we all knew the words. And we didn't know the words because they sang that in church. But what I'm saying is that God is good, and God is greater than we might think he is. God is greater, and God can give us whatever power and authority he wants us to have. Sometimes people, I think sometimes we just as churches, we sell God short. We don't really trust him the way we should. I believe God is still a healer. I never go to a hospital room. Maybe the doctors have said hospice. I don't really care. I'm there for recovery. I'm praying for restoration. I'm praying miracle. Because God can do what nobody else can do. God has performed miracles in my life. Miracles. Why shouldn't I share that good news with somebody? And he's so good. And I come to tell you, God has not spoken the last word yet. As long as we have breath in our bodies, we can be different. And if you've ever seen a changed person, you know that there is a difference between testifying and living the life. Testifying doesn't take much. Will somebody say, I can testify because I know what to say. But when you live the life that God wants you to live, that's when you have some happiness and some joy and your peace, and that's when Jesus becomes real in your life. So the reality is, the Magi, the wise men, knew who Jesus was, but they still had to go find him. They traveled a great distance, and you heard the story. You see what the scripture says. Say, once they got there, Jesus was no longer a little babe in a crib. He's in the house with his mother, Mary. And the idea is that it took so long, it wasn't just a two-day trip or something like that. But when you want to find Jesus for yourself, the journey doesn't matter. You just know it's something you got to do. We're talking in Sunday school class this morning. And on the sideline, I hope that everybody here will start coming to Sunday school. That's teaching ministry. But what the scripture was saying is that once the Magi got there and they found Jesus, they knew immediately he was the one. He was the one that the star was leading them to. And what did they do? They bowed down and what? Worshipped. They worshiped. It's not enough just to find Jesus. Here's my last news flash. It's not enough just to find Jesus. We got to what? Worship him. Preacher, what are you talking about? We come to worship every Sunday. No, worship is personal. Worship is personal. Driving down the street, you and I can worship. At our home, in our market where we shop, at that school or place where we work, we can worship. But worship ought to be all the time. Don't ask me just to worship on Sunday and then go away from God. God is worthy of our worship all the time. But we got to seek him. We got to seek him. We got to seek him. Deacon Bill, we got to seek him. Deacon Stewart, we got to seek him. Brother Barry Ben, we got to seek him. We got to give him that chance to control and guide our life. And when you do it, let me tell you what you'll do. You'll feel better. Is that right? Am I studying the right Bible?
Yes, sir.
You will feel better because he can take care of the things that nobody else can handle. I've been thinking and thinking and thinking about pine needles on the top of my house. I wrote a song about a year ago called Pine Needles, but it's got nothing to do with pine needles on the house. But the idea was trying to decide, am I going to get on that ladder and go? We've been talking about this. Am I going to get on that ladder and go up there and get those pine needles off? That is. That's my wife for many years. She said no. She says, ask somebody else to do it. Pay somebody to do it. But you're not going back up on that ladder. That's what we talk about when we talk about being sincere about Jesus. Once you make that commitment, don't let nobody tell you that Jesus is not real. Don't let anybody turn you around. Don't let anybody tell you it's not worthwhile. Society has changed. People don't go to church anymore. Hello. Some of us still go.
Amen.
And you know why? Because one day, everybody's going to know that Jesus is real. Why would you say that, preacher? Because this Bible says that one day every tongue's going to confess, and every knee's gonna bow. Now, some people may wait till next week or next month, but hallelujah, I'm glad God has already shown us God is real, Jesus is real, he's worthy to be praised. So we ought to be happy, not sad. Don't walk around with your head in the sand. Don't have a frown on your face when it ought to be a smile. Give people a chance to know what you know, that Jesus is real. He is a mighty good God. So I just come to say thank you. I find this morning I have to keep on the nose. It's got its own plan, but that's all right. God provided a napkin. So I'm okay. Because when it's all said and done, God's been good to me. And I know I'm not the only one. God's been good to somebody here. And so I'm going to ask you right now, if God's been good to you, just raise your hand. You believe God's been good. Has God been a provider? Has he been a deliverer? Has he been a way maker? Has he been a bright and morning star to anybody in the sanctuary? He is good. He is good. And he's so good that I don't have to worry about whether he's going to be good next week. He's better than Santa Claus. He's good all the time. Santa shows up once a year. He's good all the time. God is good. And we praise his holy name. And so, church, what we say to you, if you have never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, as your personal guide, as your personal deliverer, will you do that now? Somebody might ask, well, preacher, I don't know how to do that. You just get up and you come forward and say, I'm ready. I want to be on God's side. I want Jesus as my leader, as my captain. Is there anyone here? Is there anybody here? You ready? Take Jesus as your Savior. Is there anybody here? Will you come?
Thank you for listening to a recent sermon from Pilgrim Branch Missionary Baptist Church. We pray that you have been blessed by the preaching of God's Word. Pilgrim Branch Missionary Baptist Church is located at 16813 Huffsmith Corville Road, Houston, Texas, 77070. Our Sunday worship services are held at 8 o'clock a.m. and 11 o'clock a.m., with Wednesday night Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m. Please come out and join us for worship, study, and fellowship, where our motto is, "We are the branch, but He is the vine."